good prayer by Elder Smith, and a few things your beloved pastor said in regard to me and my polished manner. I'm glad he's observed that and noticed it. I've enjoyed very much, honestly, being with you folks. I don't know where you can truly say the same. Let's be honest to each other. I haven't been able to preach or speak like I'd like to and have, but I ought to be satisfied, Lord, to even be able to stand up. We ought to be thankful with God's help and mind to realize what's going on in the world. But about his polished manner, my Arkansas way is this. I wouldn't do things like you good sisters. I've enjoyed ever since Brother Troy over here called me. He called me twice, I believe, to talk with him. Enjoyed being in their home. They treated me like a king, made me feel related to them. I was in other homes that I think they go too far. I'm honest about this. I get on my wife. You women, you go to too much trouble. You work too hard, really and truly. I wish you could just think when an old Baptist preacher comes, it's not company. Feel free, honestly. I hate to see you go out of the way. Now, I tell you what my practice is, and this boy knows it. When you come over there, I don't let you bother. You say, brother, you're not going to get in my way. I want you to feel like you want, and you have. But if I work, he works, y'all. But I'm going to try to, God being my helper, to speak to you from God's Word on the subject of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I have looked up a meaning of the word gospel, it's good news, glad tidings. I believe that's it, isn't it? I want to read something before the Lord ascended back to heaven. You see, in order, a lot of people get the idea that if God calls a man, he'll preach the gospel, whether he ever studies or not. My answer to that person is he'll just make him wish he had. Just make him wish he had. Brother, you're never going to learn what to preach until you study God's Word and listen at some father before you. We need more and more time for our young gifts today, honestly, to study God's Word more than this old man. I spent most of my time, Elder Smith, in the wrong field. I realize it now. I realize it. But when our Lord was here, he taught men what to preach. And brother, he taught them. Now the ability and the power and the spirit of that come after he ascended back to God. While our Lord was here, he could only be at one place at one time, just like you and I. But aren't you glad tonight that you believe that he is everywhere, feels immense his place, and can be in the poorest home or the king on the throne or everywhere? That's the God who won't speak to you tonight. It is. And there that you may feel his presence, and there you feel his comfort. Well, while Jesus was here, he gives this. I want us to get on how much we learn and what the gospel teaches us. Now, you listen at the reading from the 14th chapter of John's writing, 14th verse, verse 24, 5, and 6. Now, this, my friend and kindred in Christ, he's speaking directly to the apostles. I want to be understood. And I want you, young man, not as I'm authority. Now, if he had taught me this, I wouldn't have to study. You understand? He says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. You understand him? And the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So, have you ever in your life said, Heavenly Father, or Father, you have? If you have, there's a rich blessing to realize by saying that you must be his child. That you can feel today. But he goes on and says, these things, now notice, have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I've never walked and talked in that manner with my Lord. I see him by eye of faith. We talk to him in the silence of night. We go to him in secretly, and we can commune, and we have access by the Spirit too. We talk to him. He's one person that we can tell our troubles to. Truly, I'll concede that. And has understanding, can hear and answer. But notice now what he says further. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now watch that. And he will send in my name, and he shall teach you all things. Now you say that's me? I say no. Why? Now, what I've learned and what I've studied and heard others, as long as I can keep that in mind, Brother Troy, that I can call to remember. But I never did hear my Lord talk in an audible voice like this, have you? But now wait. It's going to be in the measure with you, and we're going to get that. You're not left out, but let's see where we come in. He said, now notice, he teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Understand? He's talking to men that he'll bring to remembrance when he blesses them on the day of Pentecost and after. Now this is apostle. Well, I believe God's servants and God's children, he teaches you also in the matter. Understand? I believe there's a teaching separate of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want the limitation on that too. I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want to teach you something over here that I'll go home and regret. When you stand before God's people, brethren, and you would misteach them, there's a great burden, word. I believe that everyone in this audience, were you an old Baptist or not, if you've been born to the Spirit of God, you know God. There's not a man in the universe can teach you to know Jesus Christ in that sense. You understand that? I understand it. There's not a person, if you understand you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit directly to teach you to know God in that manner. And feel the need of him. And then pray and call upon him. Oh, the gospel. But wait. You cannot know, and you never will know, that he's the one that loved you and died for you and satisfied God's divine law in your behalf until you hear the gospel. Kind friends, you never will know that outside of the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you understand me. Why do I say that? Now notice, he said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. I'm not trying to teach that man that loves God, knows God, experiment. Give us textiles, all right. John, 1 John says, beloved, love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. How do they know it? How do they know him just like Cornelius knew him too? If you think not, you go read that lesson slowly. But Cornelius didn't know that God had a son that had died in his room instead until he heard the gospel. He didn't know that God loved him so great. There's many people today that you cannot. I wonder, what is your conception of God anyhow? How great do you esteem the God of this universe? The Apostle Paul was long after the Lord sent it back to glory. These men he walked with, he taught them 3 years. He told them what to preach. And while he was here, he told them where to go and where not to preach, didn't he not? Brother, when he was a-fixing to send on high, he called them, the 11 to him. Now you watch, the 11 the commission was given to, not the church. He said, go ye in all the world, one place, and preach the gospel. Matthew records it as he says this, all power, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto my hand. We're listening. It's someone speaking with the voice of authority. You understand? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's telling those men, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What are you going to teach them? Why? What are you going to teach them? They know what to teach. Go ye. Now watch. There are a lot of people. Baptism is in it. Go ye therefore and baptize. No. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father. Watch out. And the Son and the Holy Ghost. Brother, he said, I'll be with you till the end of the world. I believe he was with them. And you know, he says they went everywhere and preached. You're going to argue that they didn't. But watch out. Listen. All right. Now after this, we find this, we record further. If you want to find out about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and more of a pattern, you go to Paul's writing. You understand me? If you want to find out more about the, we've got a pattern in the New Testament, brethren, about something every writer wrote. They wrote the truth. But I hear the great eminent apostle Paul come along now. Notice. And I hear him writing to the church at Corinth. And he says, Christ sent me. Well, brethren, we're finding out who sent him, didn't he? You know, many times, Brother Troy, that's the reason I argued. I was feeling bad when you called me. I like to go. I like to mix among people, but I'm a one and worse the Lord in it or not. I'm not ready to answer until I get some feeling in it. And that's a warfare us ministers have. Well, the Lord's journey, you remember? Now notice, Paul says, Christ sent me. What did he send you for, Paul? He sent me not to baptize. Yet Paul baptized. All right, why is he saying this? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is already established now in this old Paul established church. Of course he did. Brother, you can't be of the member. I heard a man say in Louisiana, and that boy did, that Paul was a member of the church before he started on the road to Damascus. I didn't say anything. I was just itching to say something. I wanted to know what church received him without baptism. Notice, I wanted to know that. There's no church. You don't have a church. Baptism is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, that's where the minister's at. Now you watch this. They never has been, they never will be since the church of the Lord Jesus Christ set up. You do not preach the gospel out of the kingdom. You preach it in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear me? All right. You know, my prophet said, blow you the trumpet in Zion. All right. Now, Paul, here he is. He's been baptized by Ananias. God appeared to Paul. He had to make an apostle out of him. Paul said, I know whom I believe. He had seen him. He talked with him personally. Don't misunderstand me on that. In regeneration, you do not, the Lord don't appear to you and talk to you like that. And when you're born of the Spirit, it's a third person in the Trinity. Paul got that too, but the Lord appeared. Now notice, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not a word of wisdom, unless the cross of Christ. Not there is a cross, it's your cross. You know there's a cross that you take up, but here's the cross of Christ. Unless the cross of Christ be made to none effect. Did you hear me? There's a manner which you might preach the gospel, so called, let it be none effect. All right. For what is preaching for, little child of God? What is preaching? Is it to make God's children? No, a thousand times no. Is it to cause people to be born again? I'm going to answer, you know. It's the only way that will ever bring you into the light of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth. I'm going to say some more here tonight. I feel free, and I feel like I won't offend you and you won't offend me if we differ. You never can see the beauty of the kingdom, the church in the world, until you see it through the gospel. All right. There are a lot of people in this world religiously says the church is what preserves this. That's wrong. It's this and the ministry that preserves the church. See there? All right. Now what about it, Paul? He said, for the preaching of the cross of Christ is for them that perish foolishness. Understand this? Foolishness. Unto who? Them that perish. Well, old Baptist, I've been asked, even by my good friends, and I believe they're God's children, and I believe they need their eyes open to the truth. They said, well, if you don't believe you can save a man eternally, why in the name of God's kingdom do you preach? We don't preach for that purpose, do we? Now notice, this is a thing that seems foolishness to the world. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, already born again, it's the power of God. Now here's what Paul means. Brother Smith, you and I both know it. When he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God into salvation to this person. How much power is it to this one over here? It's not any. Not any. Well, you said a while ago they can know God without it. Most certainly they can. I want you to understand what I'm trying to preach. I don't want to be misunderstood. It's the work of God to teach you directly to know Him experimentally. Watch. In the Beatitudes that's recorded in the 5th chapter of Matthew, that says, blessed are they that mourn. When you find a mourning character, you find a heaven-born person. You find one that knows God and feels the need of Him. To reverse that language and say the unblessed, do not mourn. See there? Well, you're blessed. But you know God's people in that state, they don't know it. They're in misery. When you're born again, little child of God, the warfare starts in your soul and mind. And the greatest warfare that goes on in this world goes on in the hearts and the minds of a little child of God until he knows the truth. You listen to it again. He said, after that, the world by wisdom knew not God. There's a way in which it ends. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, who's a believer? A born-again person. What is it he believes? Now, he can't believe the gospel. He's never heard it. He goes on. He says, preaching Christ and them crucified is the Jew over here, stumbling block, and to the Greek, foolishness. Now, if you'll bring up someone else that's included in the human race, are the Jew and the Greek, or the Jew and the Gentile, I want to know what he belongs to. You get one. Where are you putting him? That embraces the whole entire Adam race. Under this and the stumbling block, this and foolish. But unto them which are called, called by God's grace, called sovereignly out of darkness into light by the direct work of the Holy Spirit, he says it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. So old Baptists believe in preaching the gospel. Now then, there's much on revealing in the Bible. Revealing means something, making known to you, don't it? It's that which you don't know, bringing the light. Did you know, listen, do you remember reading the 55th chapter? Or is it the 53rd right now? 53rd. Whenever it says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, I want to look at a person's identity of Christ. I want you to look at him when he's born in the world. Listen to the language. He said, who is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as out of root out of dry ground. And me and Brother Troy, over here I use my friends to talk about them, and I use the expression, and little as he and I know that plants won't sprout out of dry ground. It takes moisture. Here's Jesus Christ growing up in the world as a tender plant out of dry ground.
And he has no formless, he has no calmness, he has no beauty. When we saw it, see him with our natural eye, we desire him. Wait, I'm on revelation, I don't know reveal. I hear him in one time when he brought his disciples at the Caesarea, I believe it was, wasn't it? Philippi. He posed the question. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You all remember the answer, but to refresh your minds now. Now this I can call to your mind and bring to remembrance because you've heard it and been taught it, haven't you? But how could I call it to your mind if you've never heard it? You've never heard it. He said, some say you're Jeremiah, some one of the prophets, and one even John the Baptist. That wasn't right. That's a broad field. But whom do ye, other words, say that I, the Son of Man, am? You remember what the Apostle Peter said. Now it's one thing to know God, and the truths of God is alive. I'm learning this. He revealed his personal identity. He didn't reveal in the truths, and you'll get that later if you look at it. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. All the rest of the people that didn't know that saying the son of Joseph and Mary over here, a poor boy, the carpenter's son, didn't he? But here he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has revealed it, but my Father which art in heaven has revealed that, to where you can know that I am Christ. But you know later, you remember he just a little bit later, he told them people that he must go up to Jerusalem and he must fall in the hands of wicked men, and they'd take him and crucify him and kill him, and he'd rise again the third day. Here's what the gospel comes. And you know, Peter, after knowing he's the Son of God, he couldn't understand that. He couldn't comprehend it. And he said, not so, Lord. He didn't say it. He didn't think that had happened to him, did he? Well, we learn by reading and studying the Bible. He said, get behind me, Satan, thou art a fence unto me. It's true, Satan can get a hold of us and count, and he'll darken our belief, but he'll never pull you down and destroy you. Let's go on with the gospel. Is it a power to all men? Listen to the apostle now as we read further. Do you know the Gentiles? Do you know they heard the gospel by the mouth of the apostle Peter? And when Peter was preaching Cornelius, in order to make this so, you listen to this. When he went down there, here's the first thing he said. Peter, you know, never had preached the gospel to Gentiles. Even the apostles, in all their tradition, in all their customs, they hadn't yet been known that God had a people among us Gentiles. No. And you remember when the Lord said to Peter over here, that I, when thou art converted, what do you mean, born again? He says converted. Brother, we need converting in many ways tonight on lots of things. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. What I need converting on, Lord, I know thee to be the Christ. You see, he's already said it. And I know you the one, the Holy One. But I don't know how many people you got. There are a lot of people that think among them in their church they're the only ones. You know what? See, they don't know much more. Well, old Peter's going to get his eyes open here. You know, wait, he's going to make it. You know, I hate the old Baptists to do like I done one night, old Baptist preachers, and this affiliation used to, and putting up bars and saying, now my preaching was without any affiliation. They'd preach and not even open the doors. I never could comprehend it. I know you're not to preach with just anything or anybody. You've got to hold certain things that the Lord has recommended to hold up. But you imagine, you can't preach without Christ, and you can't receive it without Christ. You can't have a service unless the Lord's in it. And so, I brought that to my mind, your mind, like I, one evening, they was fixing to have communion down at a church, and I was yet a deacon, and they said, Ray, we don't have any wine. Since you stopped up there, I was living in Fort Smith, and told me the place to go in and get it. And you know, I went in, and while that man's getting that wine, I was making apologies for being in there. Why, Lord, you know, that he wouldn't have cared how much we drunk, would he? That was his business. And I was apologizing why I was in there, and I just stopped. I knew he wasn't receiving it nor liking it. I'm trying to make it me, being a church member, going in where they sell the stuff. And that man, he wouldn't have cared if I'd have brought in 50 more, would he? Well, here stands Peter down at Cornelius' house, and he wants to make an excuse, too, why I'm down here. I want to apologize to you, Cornelius, why I'm here. I don't fully yet understand, but the Lord's led a sheep down up yonder, and in that thing represents every kind of beast. And the Lord told me to rise and kill and eat. And he says, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean's ever entered in old Peter's mouth. Boy, I've been a good boy. But wait a minute, something was in there. Here's what he said. And he talked with him and went in and found many that were come together. Well, you know, the first thing, this old man bowed down. And Peter said, you stand up, I'm also a man. I appreciate that very much. That's what we all are. Don't revere a man. Oh, honor your pastor. Respect him in that office. But don't call him reverend. Lord of mercy. If you want to call him brother or elder, but I don't find in God's Bible where Paul ever said Elder Peter. But the office and the title of a minister is elder or bishop. But wait. I want to get on with this, and I don't want you to lose me now, but listen, here's the first time we heard the gospel down at House Cornelius. He said, and he said unto them, you know how that it's an unlawful thing for a man that is Jew to keep company and come into one over here in Mississippi? No. That just like some of us are, ain't we? Lord, if I can feel his presence, and if the Lord's not in this place, I'm going to have to say, like I believe it was Jacob, surely the Lord was in this place. I felt him today. I see him magnified in your faces. But here's what he goes on and says. He says, unlawful thing to keep company of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You know, there's a lot of men going around and says, that man's unclean. If you don't repent and do right, you're going to the devil's hell. If I didn't call him something, I wouldn't know what the world you'd call him. You think on it. Brother, I cannot look in the inside. You know, Samuel, one time when he's trying to pick out king over Jesse's children, the Lord told Samuel, said, you look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the inward part, the heart. You know that in Arcoma. Pardon me, Douglas, and stop and rest him. I know Sister Maynard well. She's married now to an old Baptist preacher. At that time, she husband was decent and made it scary now. We was having a union meeting, and old Elder Bird's good preacher. But the poor fellow preached Saturday evening and sweated his clothes down, and I don't think he had any more to put on. And for his appearance, he was. Didn't look like he needed to change the shirt, but I didn't look at that. I noticed it. But as he got up in the stand, Sister Maynard said, oh, my Lord, she said it, she confessed it. I said, I wish they'd have put someone at that look good. It embarrasses him, must be me up there like that. And he just pointed her finger at her like that and said, Sister, the Lord doesn't look on the outward, he looks on the inward heart, and he hadn't heard no one say that. Now, that's the God's truth. That's the way the Lord works. He knows the heart. Now, you watch this. And he said this, therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as now then, as soon as I was sent for, ask therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? He doesn't yet know just what he's come down there for. Do you understand me? But he come down there and preach the gospel to those people. What kind of people is he going to preach to? That's what I'm going to get to. Well, here's what the fellow said. He said, I came unto you, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was down here at a honky-tonk. No. 4 days ago, me and my wife was in a fight. No. What was he doing? Why, what is this man doing? Can you pray to God without the Spirit of God? You cannot, can you? 4 days ago, listen at him, 4 days ago I was fasting in this hour and tonight I prayed in my house and behold a man stood before me, now notice, in bright clothes. And listen how God works. This is the first time. God's got a purpose in sending his ministers in the gospel. He said unto Cornelius, now notice, send men, see, this now notice, and he said, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting this hour at the ninth hour. I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said unto me, Cornelius, called him by name. You know, I said, today that God knows every thought of your heart. Oh, why, how do you look at God? Do you know he knows the very secret of your mind? If our wives could read our minds like God, they'd probably slap us sometimes instead of smile at us. We ought to be ashamed. He said, listen, Cornelius, calling him by name, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are in remembrances in sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa. Now, see, he's talking to Peter now. Oh, my Lord, did you ever feel the press release go something? Lord, when the Lord gets hold of you, boy, you'll be loose in hand. I'll tell you what, Lord, make you well in the morning. I said a many things I wouldn't do, but Lord God of heaven, make me well. Brother Smith, I've been a disobedient boy. But my God has made me willing to do many things. And I'm glad that he does chasten his people. But watch. He said, therefore, send unto Joppa and call either for Simon, whose surname is Peter, and told him exactly where he lodged there. You think that didn't take away a lot of old Peter's doubt? Peter said, now then, notice. And he says this. He said, immediately, therefore, I send unto thee, and now we are all here to hear what's commanded us of God. Now, preach the gospel of what? You know, Peter said to him, of a truth I never see. Been the truth all the time. Now, notice, it's been the truth all the time. Pardon me, I've got something down here. It's something Marty Allen wrote out for me to keep in mind, and if I lose it, I sure will have it. But he said, therefore, I perceive, of a truth I now perceive, that God is no respect of person. Now I can prove to you there is a way that God is respect of person. I'll not take time to go in that, but I can point you several places. But God is no respect of person, but he that feareth God and worketh righteous is already accepted. Too late for him to be a child of God, wasn't it? Now, if you think God had not respect a person, let me go two or three places. Do you remember that widow wherever Elijah went? Do you know the man Naaman that healed the leprosy? None others healed like him. Do you remember the crippled man was at over there at the fifth chapter? It's a Tomb of Siloam, fifth chapter of John. I can't think of the wording right now. And you know he'd been in that condition for 38 years, and when the angel come down and trouble the water. Yeah, that's it. The first and then it was healed. It's a great mystery. I can't comprehend it, but the first man in that water was healed. The Lord come up there and put every one of them in that water. No, sir, he didn't. He put one man in. All right, let's go on with the gospel. Does the gospel save every child of God? No. Why? Well, I want to try to look at this reasonably and so do mine. Why is it so many times God's children don't believe the gospel? Is it God's fault? You remember the Apostle Paul when he was writing to the church at Rome, he had never been there then. And he said he had purposed to come unto them hitherto before, many times that he might have a prosperous journey and some fruit, but he was hindered. Well, no more than that, I didn't know what hindered him. But later on, he told another church over that Thessalonica the same thing, and he said it was Satan that hindered him. Satan. You know, Satan's the one that puts it in mind for you not to come to church and you not to do right. And I say he's still working. But you can resist him and flee from him. All right. Do you know Satan's got a bunch of boys around teaching? He's working. He's cunning. He's conniving. Why, he doesn't look like a monster. He looks pretty. He can put on and dress up. Now listen. Did you know, I'll read to you. Paul said this in the fourth chapter, third verse of 2 Corinthians. He said, if our gospel be a hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Watch out. Do you know the whole entire Adam's race fell when Adam sinned? There's a loss, but that's not the one, my friend. You watch and reason why it isn't. Do you know why they're lost? He said, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, unless they believe not. I'd like for you to tell me how in the name of eternal God. I know this. I've learned a lot of things the hard way, brother. I used to have men that worked for me. One boy that never did have any eyes. His eyeball was perished from birth. Only way he could tell the sun was shining and feel its rays hitting his face. I went into this strange welder, a big welding shop down Fort Smith, and it had signs up, don't watch the arc. Don't watch that welding. Old Henry Asherman, Marty could stand right over it. You couldn't blind him because he never had the power of sight. God's children, you don't have to blind the man, brother, that never had the power of sight. But God's children have the power of sight, and you can be blinded. Understand me, if you read the parables of the sower over there in the 13th chapter of Matthew in a different place. And when the Savior said, unto you is given to know the mystery, he's referring to the minister. If the minister doesn't come out nothing more than a lay member, I'd like to know how they can read and get it out. There's something given in the gift of the ministry. Let's see if it's not. Don't take my word. Remember, I'm going to say, and I'm affirming, that you'll never know the gospel truth until you come to where it is and hear it. Ah, you say, Brother Pius, I know a man up here knows all about it. I've talked to them. I've got a preacher over here, a good friend of mine, named Vineyard. He lives at Hackett, Arkansas. Had two discussions with him, talking. Brother, he believes and understands a total depravity. He thinks he understands predestination. But you'll find, kind friend, notice, he'll find if you'll talk, there's something those brethren are locked on. They're just like that scribe that Jesus was talking to when he told him the truth, and the Lord said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He needed something yet to be taught and instructed. The ministry is the key to unlock the minds to so you can see the beauty of the kingdom. Because he said, I give unto thee a keys of the kingdom. You give me a key and there's no lock, it won't do me no good. The minister preached in the Spirit of God as opens the eyes of God's children. All right. Now he said, blinded the minds. There's a difference. Now you listen to this. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was God, and the Word was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him there's nothing made that was made. In him is life, and he is the light of all men. Now notice, here's the light of life. And he says that light shines in darkness. This is in regeneration, friend. When God pleases God to put his Spirit, he said that light shines in darkness, not in two. You know, you could get outside and shine the light into the house, but this light is shining in the house, not into it. And he said, darkness comprehends it not, Jack. It doesn't understand what's happened to it. You know, a person that's born of the Spirit don't know, but God is teaching him as a sinner. You remember I said that? God teaches you experimentally in your heart. And when you hear the gospel preached, it's in harmony with that teaching. It's in harmony, unless you've been blinded. And you remember those bars that have grown up in your minds, and many times God's children, they don't let it get any further down. But whenever you let the gospel go down to that soul where Christ dwells in spirit, you'll get an answer. Now let's try it again. Paul said in the church Thessalonica, he said, our gospel come not in word only. Now here's your word just preaching the letter. Our gospel come not in word only, but in power and in much assurance. And old Elder Strickland used to say, it's a wonder old Baptist hasn't had a division 3 or 4 times in Texas, just how much assurance it brings. He said, in much assurance, in much assurance. He goes on and he tells them what it does. He says it turns you to God from serving idols to wait for his Son, Jesus Christ. A true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for him, a coming and believing he's done it all for him. You understand that now? Wait for His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, you said, Brother Piles, I could believe that without it. Just hold the phone a minute. Over here in the first chapter of Ephesians 1 and 11 and 12. Now, I believe, brother, I'm telling you what I believe tonight about this. And I won't fall out of you if you come and say, I don't see that like you. We still remain friends. He said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, who first trusted in Christ. Do you know who first trusted in Jesus Christ? It was the Jewish apostle. You understand me now? It was a Jewish apostle. I've heard a man one time, and they jumped on me up at Brother Lawrence come to my rescue, Troy, on this. Man, I was young, and I preached this. I preach what I believe. Now, I'm not, if a fellow preaches something I don't believe, I don't jump on him. I go searching, seek right. And then Brother said, oh, Brother Ray said, you're wrong. Said, that's God. That's God that first trusted in Christ. God entrusted everything He had, my son. But I said, now, if that y'all honestly think that, I said, watch out. I'm going to put you equal ground with God. Right in the next verse. It said, in whom also ye trusted. Before you heard the gospel. Ooh, now listen. In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Then you believed and were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, I watched my wife can. I tried that, man. My mother died young, and I used to try some canning. And you women know there's certain kinds of tomatoes. She's showing me this year. I forget, said, Ray, they got a hard core, and you've got to get that out. I said, yeah, honey, I remember that. I said, I canned a lot of them over at Hot Arkansas one time. I like them so well. And I really had Marty, but I got it, my sister-in-law, and I seen what she was doing, cutting all that core out. Said, yours is going to blow up. When I went back in, I heard of my baby and every one of them blowed up. They had the first rate. So I didn't have them sealed, and I had them. I didn't seal them right. I didn't preserve them right. I didn't do anything right. But wait, here says something sealed with a, which is the earnest of thine inheritance until the purchase possession. Now let's see what I think that teaches and what it does teach. Did you ever know what earnest money is? Well, my children, you know, Linda, Noel Foster, they got kids. They learned the hard way. They tried. They had a place, and they bought one, and they're going to sell theirs on the north side. Put it in the hand of the real estate people, and the lady didn't get but $100 down. And Lord of mercy, that wasn't enough, and they required at least the 500 or 1,000. And in the meantime, she bought a car, a truck, and she backed out and lost that $100. But brother, whenever they come in and said, Daddy, we got now someone put down $1,000 on that place over there. I said, I think you've got nothing to worry about now, huh? Why? Because that old boy's going to guarantee you to bring up that other nine. They sell it. No, they sell it for 20. I'll take it back. And I said, I think that's guaranteeing you'll get the other 19. You understand? Brother, if I was going to put up $1,000 on something, I'm going to be pretty sure I'll bring up the rest. Now, little child of God, that's believed, and you couldn't believe until you heard it. That's what he says, isn't it? After you heard, not before. You listen how plain the apostle is about these brothers. He says to the church at Ephesus, he says, you know, after I heard of your faith and your love unto all saints, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayer. What are you praying for, Paul? I'm praying to God the Father in your behalf that He may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelations and the knowledge of His Son. Brother, no harm. Keep on. You can keep on learning. It's one thing to know God experimentally and feel that there is a God, and it's a lifetime of learning His truths. Get this. Do you remember, I'll go to the old Bible a little bit. I'm looking at my watch and I ain't ready to. I ain't got far to go and I'm going to stay all night, and I don't keep you all up either. Do y'all remember over in the old Bible where this man had 12 sons, and seemingly the 11 of them at least hated one of them without a cause because there wasn't at peace with him. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? You do, don't you? You know what, to me, this boy that they hated typifies the Son of God to me in the major and figure. And you know, they tried different ways to get rid about him, but they sold him, didn't they? Some wanted to kill him.
But they sold him the brave to the money out there. Well, the Bible talks about it. That's why I'm going into this. I want you to look. They were his kindred. They wished that. They had the same fault. You know, they went home and they told their father a big white or black one. They told him a falsehood. They told him a lie, didn't they? Did you know that man believed for 22 years that his son that he loved, Joseph, was dead? And by... Now, a lot of people say, you brother Pies, you must believe. You cannot mean anything without evidence. Well, many times we believe it's false on false evidence. But did you know, even on that false evidence, that old man's life was devised in the providence of his son and wisdom? That's what he is. And it was. And it even takes any more wicked boy, don't it? Did you know what? They couldn't buy that either. Did you ever think about it? You think about those things. It ceases to be those things.